Welcome to Rumike Talks podcast. I'm your host, Konstantin Starodetsky. This is a space where I interview professionals from the entertainment industry and discuss popular film-related topics with my co-host
and producing partner, Rumena Dinevska. Our goal is to help and motivate aspiring filmmakers to get their films made.
Enjoy. I'm thrilled to interview F. Joel Price today. Joel is an actor and filmmaker from New York City who is currently building his career in South Korea. His most recent film was officially selected at the Apori International Film Festival in South Korea. Please welcome F. Joel Price. All right, Joel. So let's just dive in. I'm very curious that you are right now in South Korea. So my question is, why did you decide to go there from you being from New York City to South Korea? And what you discovered there so far?
I guess to start back in the beginning, it's been now 4 years since I moved here. It was February 2020 when I came here, which wasn't the best time because it was unfortunately the beginning of the global pandemic, and things just weren't that great. I mean, not just here, but like everywhere else in the world. Now, the reason why I came here in the first place was after some time in New York City, participating in a lot of group projects and even auditioning, I realized it wasn't, well, at the time, I realized it wasn't the right environment for me. Because when you think about it, there's so much competition going around. When you're walking down the street in New York, you see a lot of people similar to me. Thought I should try somewhere else. Somewhere else where there are not a lot of foreign artists working, and I did learn Korean as a hobby at the time, because growing up I did have some Korean friends elementary till high school, and one of my good friends was a huge inspiration, so I decided to start learning Korean just for the fun of it. Of course, I wanted to pursue an acting career or anything that I could find in a country like this. Now, I lived in the middle of the country called Daegu, and that's where the super spreader occurred. And believe it, it was like probably the worst experience. I honestly, like, I have huge regrets still to this day.
What was so bad there?
The lockdown, just the lack of socializing, the lack of communication. There was just nothing to do. Absolutely nothing. I was living in this tiny complex apartment off campus. I wasn't sure how I was going to make it. I spent like more than a year in that tiny room, especially going through the summer and the winter. Those were tough times too, because Daegu, is the Africa of Korea, also known as Dafrica. And I promised myself that would be the last summer I would spend the summer over there. When I had some time off, I would take a trip down to Busan, which is actually where I'm currently living in. And the moment I went there, I instantly fell in love and wanted to move there instantly. The problem was, though, it was really difficult to change visas at the time. Let's say if I wanted to go to a different academy, I was doing Korean training at the time. You would have to like leave the country and then make a new visa and then move back, which is actually what I did. I went back home for a few months, and then, well, once I came back here, I had to like quarantine for two weeks, and that just wasn't fun at all. But it was a lot better than the first year, because I had I was very close to the beach, and I started making a lot of great connections. And then after another year, I finally had the right amount of, had all the requirements to get admitted to the university which I'm now attending, which I'm finally, like, I have a major, which is musical theater, and I finally get to associate with Koreans, because in the language training it was just people from all over the world. I mean, which is still great. It's great to know people from other countries too. The thing is, though, what I was being taught at the language program, it wasn't really what I needed, because the moment I began attending my university, that's when I really started to learn, because I'm literally the only foreigner in the department, believe it or not.
Do they understand you well? No problem?
Most of the time, yes, they do. Other times I have to ask twice what they what they mean. But in most cases, I'm able to understand like what they're trying to say. And especially when I'm in class, I understand the context of what the professor is giving us. And yeah, sometimes I have to ask twice to get a better clarification. Because even though I can understand the context, I still can't catch some words that are being said to me. There are still so many words I'm very unfamiliar with.
Do you understand the gist of it?
I can just understand it, but I need to work harder in the future. From now, yes.
What is the most challenging part of living in Korea? You know, when you, as a foreigner myself, when you travel to another country that you haven't visited before, there is this thing called cultural shock that happens.
Like, yes.
In Germany, first time when I came, I was shocked with how quiet the trains are and fast as well. How everyone is organized and everything is very clean and buses come on time. Is there something like this in South Korea that you've experienced?
Well, there are a lot of strange habits that you see coming from locals. I don't want to get too brief because like it might sound a little disturbing. but I'll just jump right into it. Yes, there's the spitting habit that you often see on the streets. It's not pretty at all. It really isn't.
Do they have like special bowls for spitting? Like in those saloons and westerns, and someone comes and
that's it. That's exactly right.
That's funny. How are the people there like when you go? Do you interact with regular people like when you buy a loaf of bread, or how do you shop? And are the daily activities that you would normally do in New York City different, or and how are they different?
Of course, outside of the university, I do interact with a lot of locals. Nowadays, I'm very, very comfortable approaching the clerks, asking them questions, whatever I need. It's a lot better than when I first came here. Mm-hmm. I did have a little trouble communicating, but of course, there's a language barrier in every foreign country that you go to, and so it's no surprise that when you first come over here, then there's going to be some communication and problems, but you get used to it. Eventually.
Is there a particular moment that you experienced that was funny or stands out from your memory, like one of your first maybe early interactions with locals that got you into a little bit of trouble or something like that?
I started living here in 2020. However, the first time I ever visited South Korea was in 2017. I went to visit my high school friends at the time. My Korean was, I almost couldn't speak any Korean. I only knew how to say good morning, hello, where are you from?
I'm like nodding as if I'm understanding you.
There's one moment that still bothers me to this day. I honestly just couldn't order in Korean, so I approached the cashier. I'd say, "Yongwo," that means English in Korea. And then she just stared at me very awkwardly. I'm like, "Do you speak English?" And then my friend in the back was like, "Okay." And I decided to like just back off and let my friend do the talking, because like I was just completely helpless. Like that still bothers me today, even though I'm now more comfortable ordering in the host language.
Yeah, that's funny.
That was really something.
Yeah, when I was in New York for the first time, and I was living with roommates, and we were like traveling to school by bus, and sometimes when we missed the bus and there is no buses coming anymore, we were just like waving a taxi and arrive. And the name of the street was Warburton Avenue. Since this is hard to pronounce for me, for Italian friend, and for a Japanese friend, this word, every time a taxi driver would ask us to repeat which street, we would laugh at each other. It's like, your English is not that good.
That actually happens to me too. When I got into taxis here, the thing is though, I now use an application where I can request a taxi and they would just take me right to where I want to go. So I don't have to say anything to the driver.
Yeah, those days are gone. I feel like in many countries, even in Korea now. I hear a lot about Korea and getting very popular. I mean, it's already very popular, getting even more popular, especially the K everything, like K-pop, K-films, K-makeup. I was recently here in LA at the convention working. It's called K-Con. It's where all the Korean stuff comes to LA and their performers and stuff. I hear a lot of them talking about like a lot of bands like aespa and like others. They talk about Korea and things from Korea, and I want to like clarify it or like, you know, confirm that, so to speak. They say that in Korea, the education is paramount. It's and people really appreciate education, and they're very strict about it, especially at high school. Do you feel like the education getting there for the musical theater program is different in kind of like the intensity than that the education you received in New York?
Referring to New York Film Academy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you and I, we met many years ago in New York, and we attended the Wonder Conservatory together. It was so much fun. It was great to use all the fancy technology and traveling all across the states, even other states too. We did shoot in New Jersey one time for your thesis movie.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun.
Good days.
Here, I was more surprised. I was very surprised to see like how professional the faculty are in my university. When you talk about South Korea, like there's always the top three universities are the most frequently talked about. Those are Seoul National University, that's number one. Then there's Korea University, and then Yonsei University. Those are top three, and those are the universities that every student is desiring to get into. Because when you're in high school, like the competition rate is insanely high. There's the Korean SAT, which people spend several months, maybe probably years, just preparing for. And then when you get into the exam, it takes about 8 hours to complete. Boy, I mean, I'm not sure if I can go through that. But but yes, that usually the Korean SAT can guarantee you a spot at a good university. And unfortunately not. Most people just don't get in. And well, when I first heard about my university, it's called Gyeongsangdae National University. Mm-hmm. Very famous for art. And not many people seem to like, it just seems like people don't really give it enough appreciation. Mm-hmm. For me though, I just decided to give it a try because it's actually the most famous, well, arguably the most famous university in Busan. Mm-hmm. I decided to stay in Busan because I don't have the confidence to go all the way up to Seoul, even though I've been there many times. It's just, I feel like Busan is the right environment. So once I started attending the university, I was very surprised to see how professional the professors are.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very patient too. I never felt so grateful. Like I felt more comfortable than I ever was while living over here. Truly amazing. Truly amazing. And I look forward to see what's next for me. I'm in my second year right now, and I'll have two more after this. And I can say that it's exactly where I belong. It's definitely the training that I need in order to pursue a career over here, because my Korean still needs a lot of work. And the thing is, I love challenging myself. I mean, no matter how, what the consequences are, like, it's always important to like face new challenges and have new experiences, because where's the fun in all that?
So would you say that's your like one of the best investments in yourself as an actor to study here? I mean, there in Korea?
So far, yes. Speaking of projects, I was involved in a few gigs. Now, before we get into it, like, I know there's my most recent movie that I played the lead in, but I would like to talk a little bit about my other gigs, which I did recently. I'm not sure if you've seen or heard about it.
Yeah, we can talk about the Shepherd's Bullet. That's the most recent one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we can talk about it later. You can mention the earlier one.
Prior to moving to Korea, I did make my first official indie movie since finishing at New York Film Academy. It's called the Smash Romantic Comedy, which I decided to write, produce, and direct, and even star in it.
It's where you're dressed as a kind of like a sumo wrestler, in a big sumo type of costume, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot of fun on paper. However, it was the toughest scene to shoot. Mm-hmm. It really was, because like It was very hot and very exhausting too.
Particularly when you do a lot of things yourself.
Moving all the equipment and it was definitely a lot of hard work. But I'm very satisfied with the result. And I decided to promote it not just national wise, but also here in Korea. I got invited to one festival in Seoul more than 2 years ago. And the unfortunate thing was, okay, even though I got invited, the organizer had no idea that I was actually going to be there. Once I met him, he was super surprised. And then he started like having regrets that he didn't give me the award for best actor. I got two nominations, one for best actor, one for best editor, which was all, that's all I'm happy about. Like, I'm happy that I got nominated and invited there. So it's quite a pleasure. And I met someone else over there who I'm not sure. I think he's an agent or a manager, but I'm still in contact with him. He did invite me later on to a gig about Korean culture. And the thing is, though, okay, I had the appointment scheduled on my calendar for some time, but then 2 days before for traveling to the destination, I got a call from someone, mm-hmm. and it was for this. The thing is, I had no idea what it was going to be. I thought it was just like a meetup, like for some lunch with the guy. But then yes, it was actually one of the hosts for this YouTube show called K-Dang TV. Mm-hmm. We talk about Korean culture, and she gives me some scripts for me to memorize in 2 days in Korea. So I spent the next 48 hours locked in my bedroom, memorizing as much as possible. And then the day came, I was very nervous because like it was the first time I ever went to a talk show in Korean. It went well. Everything went well. There were some mistakes, and sometimes they had to stop the cameras. Thankfully, it wasn't live. It was a huge huge pleasure to actually be a part of that. I did also have some modeling gigs, and mm-hmm. actually, as a matter of fact, it was thanks to a friend whom I recently met. Yeah, I mean, it's all about the networking, because people say like you always have to apply like through the internet, but in reality it's all about the human connection. Mm-hmm. Someone knows someone, and they're gonna give you that opportunity. I then met a friend of a friend who was a professor, a filmmaking professor at another university. He reached out to me and said that some of his exchange students are looking for foreign actors to be in their graduation project. So I'm like, sure. I mean, please send me the info. And yes, I reached out to the producer, and yeah, I mean, I got the lead for the Shepherd's Bullets.
Nice.
Yeah. So these were Chinese exchange students working on the project. Have you seen the movie by any chance yet?
The Shepherd's Bullet? No, not yet.
You haven't seen it yet? Okay.
Yeah. That's actually, it was one of my questions. How people can find this movie? How can they watch it if they would like to watch it?
The university did upload it onto their YouTube channel. It was public for about a week, and then they unlisted it. However, mm-hmm. I uploaded my own version, but with Korean mm-hmm. subtitles, so I could promote it to festivals up here. So you can definitely find it on my YouTube channel.
All right. Sounds good. We'll put the link in the description, the show notes.
Great, great, great. Well, since you haven't seen the movie yet, I will just give some details. I don't want to give away the whole story.
Don't spoil.
Because like, I don't like spoilers at all. They asked me to grow my beard. They really did. Now, I know you've never seen me with a beard, but it was the first time I ever had to like maintain. I can't even grow a beard, if I'm being honest. Because the times that I did, okay, it wasn't the first time that I grew a beard. The first, I actually decided to grow a beard in 2019, just to experiment. And while I was working, people always came up to me and said, "You look so much like Jon Snow." I'm being serious. Like, it was the most common compliment that I got. I had that compliment from a dozen people. "You look like Kit Harington." And I'm like, okay, that's I'll take that. And but personally, I don't think I look great with a beard because it just doesn't match. It just doesn't suit my appearance. But yes, I had to grow my beard again for the shepherd's bullets, and there are many times where I had to like buy a beard balm to soften it because like it can get very itchy.
Yeah, it does get itchy in the first few weeks while it's growing. When it grows to a certain length, then it becomes comfortable.
Well, the fact that I'm playing a priest, but I'm in my late 20s. At the time, I thought I was a little too young to be playing a priest, but I just went for it. I just decided to give it a shot because I can't really say no to. I can't say no to opportunities.
Yeah,
but it was a lot of fun. I got to meet two other foreign actors. They were very professional. They were very easy to work with.
And by foreign, you mean also from the United States or from other countries?
No, the other three actually. There were three other actors. One of them originally from the United Kingdom, mm-hmm. from Wales, but he lived in Japan for almost 10 years and he recently moved to Seoul. And then the other one is actually a foreign student at the same university that the exchange students went to. He's actually Serbian.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then we had a child actor born in Korea, but she's half Canadian.
Yeah, nice melting pot over there as well.
Foreign actors from totally different types of countries.
Do you have the feeling of, you know, sort of being a stranger in a strange land or in a good way, kind of like being lost in this culture that is so different to your own and people who might be different?
Absolutely. When you first come, come to South Korea, well, even if you're Korean, even if you're able to communicate in Korean, mm-hmm. you will definitely feel like you are an outsider and you will feel like one at the start. And mm-hmm. I had that feeling for about 3 years. It wasn't until I attended the university and participate and got to associate with everyone. I did participate in the school musical last winter. Mm-hmm. After that, people became more comfortable, more friendly with me. Every time they see me in the hallway, they would give me warm greetings, and it's I'm honestly grateful to like finally fit in somewhere.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
I don't feel like an outsider anymore.
Well, that's a wonderful feeling. That's how I felt in back in Russia. I feel like an outsider. When I came here, I feel more comfortable. The strange thing, yeah.
You were an outsider in your own country?
I felt like an outsider when I was like at high school. I mean, I was going through the motions, you know. I was studying, I was participating, I was winning awards and stuff. But deep inside, I didn't really feel like that's type of environment I want to be in. That's why I always was in all those different sort of extracurricular activities, like extra language classes, extra like dancing classes. Like I always find something interesting outside of high school. especially when I first time traveled to Hamburg and Germany, that's when I was, wow, there's like entire world out there that is so different from my own in so many ways. That's actually quite a common thing because the sense of, you know, the sense of loneliness, it's not like a unique, it's not like a rare thing anymore. You know, UCLA University, where I recently attended, it had that done the research about loneliness, and it says like 80% of Americans experience loneliness. I mean, I can see why, especially in America, it can be very isolating, particularly in California. I'm not, New York City, I feel like is worse, was more friendly. But in California, in Los Angeles, unless you're making an effort to meet people, you can easily be so isolated, particularly if you live alone. But that's a whole another conversation that we can talk maybe sometime later. But let's get back to Korea and filmmaking. So how's the filmmaking industry in Korea from your point of view? What are the opportunities? Like if you were to take the next step to level up, what would be those steps?
First, I'm going to focus on my curriculum here. Obviously, I'll make future plans while attending. Even though I'm practicing singing and dancing, I certainly believe I should try out acting to begin with, because that's what I really wanted to do here. I've chosen to major in musical because I just for the fun of it, I wanted to try something new and enjoy myself for once. The Korean film industry, well, now it's getting the recognition that it deserves, but it's been very, very professional for more than 20 years, because there were so many classic films released in the 2000s. I actually felt I became a huge fan of the Korean film industry by watching those movies. Park Chan-wook, very, very, very famous director. I'm sure you've heard of it. He's directed Old Boy, Lady Vengeance, even the Oscar-winning director Bong Joon-ho. He had a lot of classic movies during that decade too. So Korea already had a lot of talent. The thing is, though, it just didn't seem they were aiming for international recognition. Now they are. Now mm-hmm. they're getting the recognition. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Well, The Past Lives was nominated for the Oscar. I mean, it's directed by Celine Song. And I'm not sure about her background, but she's definitely partially Korean or maybe Canadian. Well, the movie talks about this different cultures, you know, the not the different cultures, but being born in one particular culture, in that case, Korea, and then moving to another part of the world, but still having those connections back there, when the connections that you have as a child, and particularly love that she had as a child. And how it plays. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I recently watched The Past Lives 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It did feature in the Busan International Film Festival, but it was impossible to get a reservation because it got sold out in minutes.
Crazy.
So yeah. That was quite unfortunate. So I had to wait until they released it to the public in theaters. So I watched it, and it was cute to see New York's. Well, it was great. It was interesting to watch a young couple reunite after more than 20 years in New York City. And mm-hmm. when I saw the scenes in New York City, I felt like I was at home again.
I felt the same feeling, even though it's my second home, and LA being my third. But I miss New York a lot. I haven't been to New York for a long time, and I do plan to go there in May.
In May, days. Okay, that's great. Yeah. That's great. I'm sure you had great reasons for moving to California, but there's so many differences between Los Angeles and New York. But is there something? Yeah. So maybe you can tell me what is it that LA has that New York doesn't have?
Well, that's easy. The weather is there. Despite whether you're failing, whether you're winning, the weather is still going to be fine. Even if it's raining for a few days, it's still going to be nice and sunny. And, you know, almost 70% of the year, the sky's 100% blue. There's not even a cloud. There are definitely certain challenges and things like public transportation non-existent and many other things. But as long as you're putting an effort, if you're like not really self-motivated, then LA it's hard to kind of like integrate. But if you kind of like have a plan or have at least tactic to do, like to meet people, you know, to schedule things, then it's doable. But you cannot just like go. Yeah. Example, I recently visited Macedonia, which is the homeland of my wife. There, like 100% true, I'm exiting the apartment and I meet at least three people who are friends of the family of Rumen, my wife. I would never have this experience in Los Angeles. I mean, I may meet by accident like one person, which I have an example as well. Do you remember Paul Werner, a teacher from
I do New actually. York, I remember him very well.
I was just walking around in LA. You know, LA is really wide, like 30 miles wide. And I was like in a random neighborhood, just walking down the street from a coffee shop, Bricks and Scones. And then and it was dark. It was like evening. And I walked down the street and I see there is like two men sitting at the table. And I don't see the, I see the face of the man who faces me, but I didn't recognize, I don't know that person. But then I see the back of the head of Paul Warner because I remember how it looks. And I was like, it can be him. It can be him. And I, like, as I get closer, I'm kind of like looking around. And then I see, that's Paul Warner. And I was like, Paul? And he's like, Constantine, you know?
You remember your name.
First was, it was like a second of surprise. And then he got back to his like a standard mode, like, you know, like kind of like enunciating everything and like, steady and you remember. Yeah, so but that was a, like a rare occurrence. I don't meet like maximum I can meet one person there. I met like three people. And the same kind of like, well, in New York maybe not so, but unless I don't know, maybe if I was born there, I would have like more people to meet on the street. But you see like a everyday people, you see every profession, you see wide variety here in LA. You don't see that as much. Unless you go to a particular area like Santa Monica, Westwood, Beverly Hills. Even in downtown LA, it's like, especially in downtown LA, it's like mostly people in suits and tourists and homeless people.
When I drove to LA for the weekend from San Diego, everyone kept telling me those exact same stories. And yes, they weren't wrong at all. While driving in the streets of LA, I saw tents everywhere. A lot of poverty around. The thing is, though, when we met each other in Burbank, I was surprised to see how clean it actually was.
Mm-hmm. That's why I love Burbank.
I definitely see that. I expected LA to like be the exact same everywhere I went, but Burbank was a huge surprise.
Burbank is a cool place. I've been in and out Burbank a few times. I've been in Burbank, been in Northridge, been in North Hollywood, and then back to Burbank. Yeah, that's a nice area. Connected to everything else. And also my work is nearby at the moment. So it's very convenient. I can walk if I want to.
Everything seems to be going great for you. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's get back to the conversation about you. So, Joel, what is your most challenging production that you worked on?
It was definitely the Korean culture gig that I did 2 years ago. I was told that, like, I had to like understand everything according to the script. And when I was on the phone, okay, we talked it over on the phone. I'm like, okay, yes, yeah, sure, yeah. I pretended like I was 100% okay with it. Like I said, I just I didn't want to waste this opportunity. Like, this was something that might change my life for a bit. So I did realize that I had so much more practicing to do. So yes, because of that, I did push myself more. I certainly hope I can participate in a gig like that again in the future, hopefully on TV. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of foreigners who are proficient in Korean, who've lived in Korea for more than 10 years. There are a lot of global celebrities here, a lot. And they talk about their homelands and their old cultures. And yeah, that's something I would love to be a part of one day.
What was the biggest lesson you've learned while in Korea?
Well, that's a great question. The difference is, in America, you can speak your mind. You can be as honest as you can. Especially, well, in Los Angeles, are people, how are the people? Do they speak their minds? Or, because I know in New York, they do that a lot, but LA, what is it like there?
Well, they sure speak mind when they're driving.
When they're driving,
they're
yes.
Beeping and screaming sometimes. Yeah. But I mean, people in the corporate America, depends. Some people like speak their mind, but I feel like in general, it's more like, you know, clean people trying to be polite and safe.
So to answer your question further, this is, of course, this is a huge lesson to learn. Humbleness is the biggest key. I mean, it's perfectly fine to be honest if it's really necessary. Complaining here is not accepted here, unless it's for a good for a very good reason. No matter how great you are at something, if people give you a little bit of criticism, most important thing is that you have to accept it and not take it personally, right? Because I did have those moments a few times. It stings in the beginning, but eventually you get past it as long as you accept it. Because like it's just their opinion at the end of the day, and you don't want to make things more sour. And so, very important. Just stay relaxed, put your feet on the ground, and because this is not my homeland, of course, right? So I have to obey all the regulations that the Republic of Korea has here, because it's really easy to get in trouble here, actually, even for locals themselves. I mean, there was some unfortunate news in recent times, because like to be specific, like the acne parasite ended up leaving this world after having a lot of controversy around him, because no matter how much you achieve in Korea, no matter how much respect you've earned, it can be very dangerous. I mean, if you get involved in a lot of if you're getting involved in something very big, it can really destroy your reputation that quick. So that's a huge lesson, very huge lesson, not just for locals, but for everyone living here.
Yeah.
And I hope to keep it that way in the future.
All right. Feature films versus TV shows. Which one would you prefer as a job? Let's say as an actor.
Now, it really depends on who I'm working with in the feature film and in the TV show. I don't mind the genre as long as it's a decent story. If the feature film, well, let's say if I was working with a really good director who would actually call me again for future projects, it just depends on the people that I'm working with.
Let me ask from another angle.
Yes.
Which one do you watch the most?
Feature movies.
Feature movies. And do you watch them in theaters or on devices?
In theaters, actually. I actually began watching Korean movies without any subtitles.
And how are the theaters over there? Can you describe the experience?
It's like a normal theater that you go to. I mean, almost anywhere in the world, they have they have all types of screenings, including Dolby and IMAX. I was even happy to watch Oppenheimer in IMAX.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like I was back in New York watching movies. Yeah, they as a similar the movie theaters in Korea have a similar vibe to New York City.
That's actually interesting. Yeah, I was imagining more like futuristic settings for some reason. I feel like Korea is like in the future. I mean, it literally in the future. Like you're literally right now living on Saturday, March 30th, and I'm calling you from Friday, March 29th. So that's one thing. And then I heard there are a lot of technological advancements there as well, in the mix with kind of like spitting and stuff that you mentioned earlier.
There's some other cultural shocks. I mean, spitting is definitely the most common one. Another one that I can say is Koreans, even though they're very extremely hard workers, they're always focused 24/7. The thing that they're not very specific. They don't really specify enough, because when they bring up a topic, right? Okay, so if you're given a task, then you want to ask them, what exactly do you need to complete? But most times they just say, okay, here it is. They show you the book of the cover, but they won't explain any further. So that's when you ask questions. But for most times, Koreans don't seem to take it very well. They don't really like being asked questions. They expect you to actually know the stuff right away.
They want to be left alone?
Exactly. I think that's even more shocking than spitting.
Wow. All right. So now let me challenge your creativity. If you were an extraterrestrial from the perfect world where everything is in balance, so kind of like looking with this perfect mindset perspective at our imperfect world, what would be the one thing that you'd change in the outworld?
Just one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely racism. it has definitely affected our society for thousands of years. It is inevitable the way I see it, but like it can be reduced. It can definitely be less serious, like if we choose to change it that way. Because for me, I grew up with diversity. I grew up with surrounded by people from every ethnicity. So when I first learned about racism, I was indeed very shocked, like how serious it was. So yeah, I mean, I was ET. I would definitely change that.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Anything that I forgot to ask? Anything that you'd like to promote?
We reunited after 7 years in Los Angeles. The thing is, it wasn't even planned. It was just out of the blue, and and then we did have a few chats a while ago, and you were curious, you kept asking me how Korea is, and yeah, I mean, you definitely should come visit here one time and definitely see for yourself, and maybe interview I can introduce you to other artists living over here, and so you can get an idea of what it's like living in a society like here. So
yeah, that would be interesting.
Hopefully we can make it work in the future if you can come all the way over here.
Yeah, we can even make it virtually like this.
Yeah, after shooting the Shepherd's Bullets, I felt more hungry for opportunity.
Yes.
So
is there anything on the horizon?
No matter what comes up, I mean, indie student, or feature film, like whatever comes up, I'll just take it. Because again, I can't say no to an opportunity, even though I have a lot going on nowadays with my studies, other hobbies going on, other hobbies I have. I mean, if an opportunity for acting comes up, then I will prioritize it, no matter how busy I am. Because when I did the Shepherd's Bullets, I was rehearsing for the school musical. Of course, I had to get permission from that university, so I wouldn't have to, so I can be pardoned for my absences. So yes, if it happens again, then I'm instantly gonna be there. Like I'll just drop everything else that I have right now and just do that.
Sounds like a great mindset. Yeah,
commitment.
Yes. And the final question that I ask everyone who comes to this podcast. Obsession of the week. Is there anything that you've been obsessed this week? It could be anything. A new book, a movie. For example, for me, this week, my obsession is Gentleman in Moscow. It's a new TV show with Ewan McGregor, which is based on the book that I've been trying to read for ages. I actually got it recently, and I want to read it before I start watching the show. And I've been pretty obsessed. I literally videotaped. Wow. I used the word videotaped. Yeah, videotaped poster in Los Angeles. You know, in Los Angeles, they have lots of movie posters and TV shows posters, and they have that A Gentleman in Moscow poster. So I'm going to put it on my story because I've been obsessed with this movie. I mean, with the story particularly, about this, you know, a nobleman who was stuck in a hotel and kind of like experiencing the changes and the revolution that happened in Russia through pretty much the balcony of his hotel. It's a pretty good concept to just hook me up right away. So is there something in your life this week that you've been obsessed with? It could be as ridiculous as a new brand of toilet paper that I had like a few months ago, but something fun.
I didn't have to think about it that much because I already do have an answer for that. in my spare time, I'm obsessed with video games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I enjoy playing it so much. Like I have a peace of mind. Okay. So I'm not working these days. I'm just studying. So my income rate isn't so high. For a while, I've always wanted to like have my own PS5 because like, given the fact that there's so many great games coming out, especially GTA 6 is around the corner. I'm not sure, maybe it'll come out next year or so. Like, well, especially the PS5 Pro, it's rumored to be coming out sometime in the summer or in the fall. I would really love to save up for that because, believe me, it's ridiculously expensive. So I definitely, that's something that I really, really would like to have eventually.
All right. And that's the end of this episode. Thank you, Joel, so much for coming today to be my guest. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Constantine, for inviting me and catching up. I hope you do enjoy watching the Shepherd's Bullets.
I will definitely check it out, and I'll put the link in the show notes so everyone else can check it out as well. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Rumike Talks podcast. You can find the show notes at rumike.com. I'm your host, Konstantin Staradetsky. My producing partner, Rumena Dinevska. See ya.